Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 18 January 2026, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update from Jim Myers, the James F. Myers Ministries, sharing the Word of God with the people of the Ukraine. He says, I am in Poland at this time, teaching with Robbie Dean. Robbie Dean was in Baraka for quite some time. He now has his own church. And he says, following is an excerpt from a letter that he, Robbie, sent out to his church. I will pass it on to you so that you might be in prayer for us. So this letter is from Robbie Dean to his church. On Thursday night, we began our classes, which are focusing on the Upper Room Discourse, John chapters 13 through 16. And we each taught an hour and covered chapter 13. Tonight, we will cover chapter 14. And then tomorrow night, I will teach chapter 15, and Jim Myers, will teach chapter 16. One of the highlights was that several former students of the Word of God Bible College, that's in Kiev, Ukraine, they came to the conference. One came from as far away as Estonia. Others were more local. It is a wonderful testimony to the faithful biblical teaching of so many under Jim's leadership. That's Jim Myers' leadership. And though scattered across the world now, many have developed ministries in local churches or have started churches and are involved in ministry. It reminds me of how Jesus instructed his disciples in Acts 1 verse 8 to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. They didn't quite catch the vision. So after a couple of years, God allowed persecution to develop to force them out of Jerusalem and later out of Judea and Samaria, and eventually used Saul of Tarsus to expand the outreach beyond the eastern Mediterranean. God has used this awful war with Russia to scatter former students throughout the world in all manner of circumstances to teach the Word of God. One student and his wife are in Porto, Portugal right now. And in a few weeks, Pastor Bob Bolander will travel there to teach the word to those this student has ministered to. This is how God has used the ministry in Kiev, Ukraine, established by Jim Myers. And those American pastors who taught there to expand their outreach far beyond what we ever envisioned. Thanks be to God for His glorious love for us and using so many to go far beyond what we ever envisioned. We continue to be grateful for all of your prayers as we teach here in Poland. Monday, we fly via an overnight in Vienna to Suceava, Romania, to continue developing the ministry to the churches in northern Romania. And that's the end of the letter from Robbie Dean. Now Jim concludes, following our time in Romania, I will be going back to the Ukraine for a time to visit pastors and to teach a Bible conference. Please be praying for safety and strength and health and reception of the word. By His grace, Jim Myers. Russia started this war. Ukraine didn't start the war. Russia started the war. Putin is an evil, evil dictator. Russia is an evil, evil nation. And they invaded Ukraine to take the whole nation. But there's a specifically, they want certain minerals for their military that are found there in Ukraine. And they keep fighting, and it's been going on now for years. They thought it would be over in weeks. But by the grace and power of God and the pivot of believers in the Ukraine, while all this has gone for years, that pivot is still there. And there are pastors that go up to the front lines and proclaim the establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth to the troops that are on the front lines. They do that day after day. And many of those men and serving in the Ukrainian military have become believers in Jesus Christ and have grown up in the grace and truth of the Word of God. And that is absolutely phenomenal, fantastic. So, Ukraine is still there. And the evil dictator is not President Zelensky of Ukraine. The evil dictator is Putin. And the nation that's going to start World War III is not Ukraine. If the evil nation is Russia and Iran, Communist China, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, that will start the world war after the rapture of the church, the royal family of God. So continue to pray for that pivot in Ukraine. And they recently, Russia has attacked their power. All the power has gone out completely. They have no power. It's winter time in Ukraine. And they continue to plod along day after day. You see, you sit here at home, and we right now, you're sitting in a nice home. Maybe you even have a fireplace. You have a car. You drive to church. You have logistical grace, blessing, and support, food, clothing. Those are major, major tests for the people in the Ukraine right now. Just having even power, lights. And I hope you continue to pray for them and for Jim Myers and his ministry there. He's going to be back in Ukraine here shortly. And he started the Bible college in Ukraine and prepared men for the ministry in that Bible college in Ukraine. And they are now pastors in the nation Ukraine. But as Robbie Dean mentioned, because of the war, they have many of them scattered all over the world and are sound doctrinal Bible teachers in ministries all over the world. And that is something that God, by His grace and His power, has accomplished. So I think about these communicators there and these troops that are being under attack day after day after day after day, and they're still there. And hold them up to the grace and power of God. All right, Romans chapter 8. We haven't been in Romans 8 for so long, you probably forgot what we taught in Romans 8. So I think we'll go back to chapter 1. Oh, okay, maybe not. We studied, the last thing we completed and studied was the five steps to glory. Step 1 was foreknowledge in verse 29. Step 2 was predestination in verse 29. Step 3 was election to privilege in verse 30. Step 4 was justification, verse 30. Step 5, glorification, verse 30. We studied the five steps to glory. So let's look at the corrected translation. Verses 28 through 30, starting at verse 28. In fact, we refer specifically to spiritually mature believers. We know that to the ones who love God, that's the key, the ones who love God, who have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And who's that? Spiritually mature believers only. To the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to and because of the predetermined plan and purpose of God. Verse 29, we know that the ones whom He, God the Father, foreknew, step 1, He also predestined, step 2, to become conformed to the appearance of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose that He, the Lord Jesus Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren, the royal family of God. Verse 30, and whom he predestined, the same ones he also called. Step 3, election to privilege. And whom he called, election to privilege, these same ones he also justified. Step 4, imputed his righteousness to us and declared us to be righteous. And whom he justified, these same ones he also glorified. Step 5. So that was a tremendous study, Romans 8, 28 to 30. Now that brings us to the new life and its challenges. The new life and its challenges, Romans 8, 31 through 39. And in Romans 8, 31 to 39, now we have 5 challenges. So we had the 5 steps to glory, Romans 8, 28 to 30. Now, Romans 8, 31 to 39, we have the 5 challenges. And the first challenge is opposition. And that's Romans 8, 31. Opposition. So we always start with the King James, Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? And this is the nominative neuter singular of the interrogative pronoun tis, plus the inferential conjunction un, plus the future active indicative of apon, and apon is from the verb lego, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative plural of the demonstrative pronoun huta. All right, now, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon. Check me out on this when you go home and get into that. And make sure that I'm doing this right. Arndt and Gingrich, on page 597, says that the interrogative pronoun tis, and it looks like that in the Greek and in the English, but you combine that interrogative pronoun with the inferential conjunction un, and so this is T-I-S and that's O-U-N, tis un, you have a special formula. This is Arndt and Gingrich, page 597. When you combine the interrogative pronoun tis with the inferential conjunction un, that now you have a special formula, and this special formula is one of the favorite expressions of the Apostle Paul. And it's correctly translated, what then are we to conclude? And then the verb apon, which is the second aorist of the verb lego, E-I-P-O-N, apon. Apon is the second aorist of the verb lego. Lego you're familiar with, that's the verb to say or to speak. The preposition pros plus the accusative plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos is correctly translated to these things, or literally face to face with these things, but to these things. And what are these things? I'm glad you asked. These things refers to everything the Apostle Paul has just taught in Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. That's the these things. So what then are we to conclude to these things? Romans 8, 28 to 30. And then we have, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, there are no, in the Greek, there are no verbs here. No verbs in this clause. We have a conditional particle ae. And it looks pretty much like that, ei. Conditional particle ae, and that translated if. And a introduces a first class condition. If God is for us, first class condition, and he is for us. If God is for us, first class condition, and he is for us, as has been dogmatically declared in the five steps to glory in the passage Romans 8:28-30. Theos, God, and that's God the Father, and then the preposition huper plus the genitive. And this is a very special preposition. H-U-P-E-R. Huper. Very special preposition. And this is one of the blessings of studying from the original languages to see what this is communicating. Huper plus the genitive generally means for or in behalf of or for the sake of someone or something. It means to be for someone, to be on someone's side. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego is us. Us referring to Romans 8:28, all spiritually mature believers. Now, don't get me wrong, God is for all believers. So let me give you a couple of points. One, yes, it is true. God is for all believers. Once you place your faith in Jesus Christ, he imputes his righteousness to you, declares you to be justified, vindicated, establishing a grace pipeline with his justice on one end, imputed righteousness in us on the other end. Because he's for us and he wants to send down that grace pipeline, grace blessings to all of us. Once we have that imputed righteousness from God, God wants to bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. That's his fantastic plan of blessing for the believer. Right at the moment of faith in Christ, God sends 40 salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings instantly. And that's absolutely phenomenal. And then every single day from that day right up to today, God sends down logistical grace, blessing, and support for all believers. Logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive. Temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? Well, he graces you out because he wants you to live long enough to start having the light go on in your soul that he has a phenomenal plan for you. And the plan for you in the church age is a special spiritual life, a special divine power, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations to be filled with the Spirit. Empowered, you actually live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God in your soul, and you fulfill the mandates of Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually in grace. Grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support, that you realize God's got this phenomenal plan. And after salvation, what? That's not, you haven't crossed the finish line when you believed in Christ. The gun's gone off. You're beginning a marathon. And that marathon, and Cliff and I were going to run the Las Vegas Marathon this year. I'll let him have the gold and I'll take the silver. But You take the bronze? Oh, God. Well, now I see it. I thought it was just two or three of us going to be in that baby. Yeah. I know we're in trouble if he's in it too, you know. We're in trouble if anybody's in it. I mean, no, when you place your faith in Christ, the gun's gone off. That's just the beginning. After salvation, what? To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, and glorify God to the maximum. That's why we're here. So God sends down that grace pipeline to all believers, logistical grace, blessing, and support, hoping that somewhere the light goes on and you go, hey, you know what? I need to find a sound Bible-teaching church and get my patootie in there consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And when you do that, now you have the love for God. All things work together for good for those who love God. So while it is true that God is for all believers, in our context, the spotlight is on spiritually mature believers. All things work together for good to the ones who love God. Spiritually mature believers. That's where the spotlight is here. So what then are we to conclude to these things? Romans 8:28-30. If God is for us, first class condition, and He is for us, who can be against us? And this is the interrogative pronoun tense, once again, plus the preposition kata, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, repeated. This time, the interrogative pronoun tis asks the question, who? Who? And then, kata, K-A-T-A, kata. And kata, in the genitive case, literally means, it can mean down, it can mean into something or throughout. However, figuratively, kata plus the genitive means to be against someone or something. And with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, the question is, who is against kata? Who is against us? So the first challenge is opposition. What then are we to conclude to these things? Romans 8:28-30. If God is for us, first class condition, and He is for us, who is against us? Not to worry. So, one, Romans 8:28-30 is so powerful. So powerful. And the greatest source of encouragement and confidence, our confidence in the living and true God. Two, when the Apostle Paul asked this question, he asked it rhetorically. He asked this question rhetorically. Three, there is really nothing that we, Paul, or anyone else can adequately say in the face of such an overwhelming reality that God is for us. God is for us, first class, and He is for us. So there's really nothing that we or Paul or anyone else can adequately say in the face of such an overwhelming reality. For, thus, we who are called according to His purpose, verse 28, can take enormous comfort knowing that all things work together for good for the ones who love God. Thus, we who are called according to His purpose, verse 28, can take enormous comfort knowing that all things work together for good for the ones who love God. Five. God's relationship to us stretches from eternity past to eternity future. Before we were ever here, in eternity past, God knew everything about you. He knew you would place your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And the moment you place your faith in Christ, in His perfect plan of grace, He imputed His righteousness to you. Declared you justified, righteous, vindicated, establishing that grace pipeline because He has the most fantastic plan for us to bless us, bless us, bless us. So God's relationship to us stretches from eternity past to eternity future. Six. What He willed for us when He knew us, He knew all of us in eternity past. What He willed for us when He knew us in eternity past is something He is in the process of accomplishing right now in the present. What He willed for us when He knew us in eternity past is something that He is in the process of accomplishing right now in the present. Seven. Having elected us to privilege and justified us, He is now preparing us for the final stage of this whole experience, namely glorification. Having elected us to privilege and justified us, He is now preparing us for the final stage of this whole experience, namely glorification. So, point eight, no matter what kind of opposition, no matter what kind of opposition the spiritually mature believer faces, it really amounts to nothing. No matter what kind of opposition the spiritually mature believer faces, it really amounts to nothing. Nine. Who can really oppose us if God is on our side? No one is God's equal. No one has more power or ability than God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means he can solve any problem. I know I pray, I love to pray. And I love coming to the happy place. And the first thing I do is pray. And whenever I go through the essence of God. Whenever I get to the omnipotence of God, you're the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe. You can solve, and then in my prayer, I've been praying along like this, and then, praying, and you can solve any problem. And he sees me going up and down, my guardian angel sees me going up and down, the demons see me going. And then I start going through all you people on the prayer list. You can solve your problem and your problem. And I go through specifically what your problems are. You're the omnipotent God. You can solve those problems. Deb, she should be already in heaven. If she was already in heaven, I would have jumped off Hoover Dam a long time ago. She does about 1 million and 2 million things every single day. It's just amazing all that she does. And it was the hardest thing at all was when she was in the hospital and they were putting these stents in, and the doctor, Dr. Ruggieroli says, you know, your wife, she should be gone, and nobody has that kind of 95% blockage of the widowmaker and live to tell about it. And so I pray you can solve Deb's heart problems. Her heart problems, heal her heart. That's not the only problem. She's got other problems. She's amazing. And then I said, and you can solve my aneurysm problems and knee problems. And then I get a message from God. No, I'm not going to fix your knee problems. You just keep hobbling around. Okay, yes, sir. Thank you very much. He can solve any problem. He is the omnipotent God. And I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know he can solve any problem. So who can really oppose us if God is on our side? No one. So point 10, no one is God's equal. No one is God's equal. No one has more power or ability than God. No one has more power or ability than God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. 11, the plan of God is greater than any opposition the believer will ever face. The plan of God is greater than any opposition the believer will ever face. So that's the first challenge. The first challenge, verse 31. What then are we to conclude to these things? Romans 8, 28 to 30. If God is for us, first class condition, and he is, who is against us? That's the first challenge. Now in Romans 8:32, we have the second challenge. And the second challenge is encouragement. He that spared not his own son. We have the relative pronoun host plus the enclitic particle ge plus the aorist medical middle indicative of phaedomai with the objective negative ouk, plus the genitive singular of huios with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of the adjective idios. The relative pronoun hos You see, in the Greek, it always has an antecedent. H-O-S. The relative pronoun always has an antecedent, and that antecedent is in verse 31, hotheos. If the God is for us, the God is God the Father. The relative pronoun who? The God, God the Father, who? The God, God the Father, who? And then the enclitical particle ge. G-E. And the enclitic particle ge is an intensive particle that's really important. It is used for great emphasis and intensity, and it's correctly translated even, should be translated even. So we got the God, God the Father, who did not even spare his own son. And here is the verb phaedomai. He did not even spare his eternal son. Wow. How amazing is Operation Grace, the plan of salvation, the cross. Phaedomai. P-H-E-I-D-O-M-A-I. Phaedomai. Couple of things. One, phaedomai means to spare someone from something. To spare someone from something. Two, to spare his eternal son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the imputation of the world's sin to him and the judgment of those sins in him. To spare his eternal son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the imputation of the world's sin to him and the judgment of those sins in him. Two, the objective negative ook slams the door. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ook. And ook slams the door. The God, God the Father, who did not even spare. The God, God the Father, who did not even spare. To idiu huiu. That's the definite article in the genitive case, T-O-U. This is idios in the genitive. That's I-D-I-O-U. And this is huios in the genitive, and that's H-U-I-O-S. And idios, his own huios son, eternal son. So, to idiu huiu, his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal son of God. The aorist tense is a dramatic aorist. The middle voice is deponent. It's middle in form, but it's active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as a dogmatic fact. Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Certainty, reality. The God, God the Father, who did not even spare his own son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him up for us all. Did we earn it or deserve it? Absolutely not. We were spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. But God, in His infinite virtue love, He did not spare His own Son, the eternal Son of God, but delivered Him up for us all, so that anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of eternal life. Gift. You don't work for it. It's a gift from God to you. None of us earned or deserved it at all. That's the grace of God. Well, we're going to take a break. And you can come back for part two in a few.